today on Real Radio.
The church is you, and you, everywhere you go, wherever the sole of your feet tread, you bring mercy, grace, forgiveness, joy, love, caring, you name it, it's you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In our biblical worldview and the church, Pastor Jack describes the church as a living, spiritual body and not the building or the structure in which we gather. It's made up of individuals who have come to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that His Holy Spirit resides in us to be His hands and feet in this world until He returns. Today, Pastor Jack challenges the Christian to seek out where the lost and hurting actually are, where issues are being decided, and where power is wielded. The secular world will try to stop us, but we need to get to the lost regardless. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Exodus 18:20 says, "And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which you must walk and work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness." Imagine if this was the criteria for our politicians today. What about this? Being involved in the school board, city council, public arena. Proverbs 31:23. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Where's the Christian supposed to be? Some of you are going to freak because you've been taught something different. The Christian, you can, listen, you can be a Christian and be a mayor. You can be a Christian and be a governor. Oh, God help us in this state for such a thing. You could be the police chief and be a Christian. Think of that. Hey, you know what? There's California Superior Court judges that attend this church, and they're Christians. Thank God. Listen, imagine. And I remember when one of those brothers said, "Man, what do? I have this opportunity." At the time, Governor Schwarzenegger called me up. "Here's the story. Here's the deal. What do?" I said, "Are you kidding me? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for you. You go, man. You go out. You go. You take righteousness to your bench." You say, "Well, you know, separation of church and state." Find that for me somewhere, please. Okay? It's in a private letter between Thomas Jefferson and his pastor friend. It's in the First Amendment. I tell you what. You find that in the First Amendment and... I'll buy you fish tacos. That's a big deal. Listen to this. Is the Christian supposed to be involved at the state capitol or in Washington, D.C.? I don't know. What about Proverbs 29:2? "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, people groan." Yikes. What about in the voting booth?
Dude, Christians are not supposed to vote, man.
Really? What, do you let all the lunatics vote? Someone's going to vote. You know, who's going to vote? The crazies? No. Listen. Exodus 18:20 says, "And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which you must walk and work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness." Imagine if this was the criteria for our politicians today. There wouldn't be, how many people would be in Washington? Look at this. "They're not covetous people, and place such over them to be the rulers of thousands, the rulers of hundreds, the rulers of fifties, the rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter that they shall bring to you," that's Jethro speaking to Moses, "but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you." The wisdom of God. Acts 6:3. We're almost done. Sort of. "Therefore, Brethren, seek out from among yourselves seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Godly leadership. Number four, and this is going to be our last point, but it'll be a lengthy one, but I hope beneficial to you. I want all of you to be thinking right now, because this is going to fly in the face of what many of our young people today and their worldview are being taught. Let me preface it by saying this. If you are radically progressive and liberal and humanistic, the influencers that be encourage you to go. Go for it. Did you hear what I'm saying? The powers that be will say, go ye therefore into all the world and preach this doctrine that we've been teaching you. Okay? They're not shy about it. Have you been to university or college class lately? They're not apologizing. They're not shy. And you do it. Lockstep, you do it. Okay? But if somebody comes along and says on a Wednesday night, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Live it out. Take it everywhere you go, into every area of your life. Wherever the sole of your feet go, ordained by God, you are a living stone built into the house of the living God, and you are salt and light and witnesses to this world. Listen, before I go into this closing point, you tell me where from Scripture is the church not supposed to go? Think of it. Should we get involved in this stuff? Where should the church be placed? Where the power is wielded. Write that down. Where the power is at. That's a big deal. You guys, listen. Power is a freaky thing. The more power a person has, the scarier things get. But listen. There are people who are made, ordained by God, to handle power. Then there are people who pursue power. Let me tell you something. A person who pursues power and wants power is a tyrant, is tyrannical. A person, if you know someone who wants power, they've got to have it. They will manipulate to get it. They will throw you under the bus that they might be lifted up. If you know someone who's hungry for power, that is a very, very unpredictable, dangerous person. It has been my little experience in life, because I haven't been around much or long. I can tell you this. Very few people can handle success, influence, and power. The moment they think it is coming from them is when they go off the track. And that's most people. If you think I'm making this up, go look at the statistics of what's happened to people who have won lotteries in America. I forget the number, but it's over 74% end in destruction. Alcoholism, drug abuse, death, you name it. They self-destruct. Why? They can't handle it. There are Christians sitting, I believe, because of the size of this place tonight, there's Christians sitting here right now that God may be calling you to the halls of power. Why? Because you're a Christian. Because you're serious about representing Jesus. You're serious about reaching the lost. I cannot read my Bible literally from cover to cover without seeing God's people placed by Him everywhere. In Rome, there were Christians in Caesar's house. Did you know that? Read the book of Acts. I'm not going to say any names. I'll tell you this. Tonight, in the White House, tonight, I know of two Christians that are appointed to the protection of that home at night, inside that house. God's people are everywhere. Everywhere. That is awesome. I want you to think about that. So here we go. Should a Christian be involved in the civic or public world? Well, the answer is overwhelmingly yes. I'll tell you why. One man, Daniel. Daniel 2:14. When the counsel and wisdom of Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had, by the way, the king was the ruler of the world at the time, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" said Daniel. Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. You know the story. It's history, world history. Daniel wound up appearing before not only the king, Nebuchadnezzar, but wound up changing the course of a nation. And he's in the history books tonight, both religious and non-religious. What about Joseph? Joseph, God took and made the second most powerful man in the world. And you're thinking about running for city council and you don't know. God bless you. What about Nehemiah? We don't understand the incredible position that Nehemiah held as the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. Let me tell you, the king, by the way, Artaxerxes, he was Persian. Nehemiah was a Jew. His witness was so profound that the Persian gets the Jew to be his cupbearer. So what is that? Nehemiah presided over everything. It wasn't just that he tested to make sure the wine tasted good. He made sure that it wasn't poisoned. He made sure the king's food wasn't poisoned. He would, imagine the discernment Nehemiah had. He would look around the king's staff, look for any oddballs. You know what? I don't like that guy. He might do harm to the king. Get him out. Something's wrong with that guy. And you know what? This group over here, Nehemiah was the king's most trusted right-hand man. He didn't eat a thing without Nehemiah. He didn't drink a thing without Nehemiah. Most powerful man in the world at the time, and Nehemiah was serving him. Watch this. This is going to be fun. We'll end with this. You ever heard of a guy by the name of Benjamin Franklin? Benjamin Franklin grew up in a very, very hard home. His brother, he could never equal up to his brother. His dad beat him terribly and favored his brother terribly. I forget his age, somewhere around 13 to 14 years of age, Benjamin Franklin ran away from home. Do you know that? He ran away from home and went to Europe. That's where he learned how to be a printer, to operate a printing press, was in Europe. And he said, "I sowed my wild oats. I had everything. I had drink. I had girls." And Benjamin Franklin was quite a womanizer for much of his life. At that's what our young people have heard about Benjamin Franklin today. He was a slave owner, which he wasn't, but he was a white slave owner, European-rooted, blah, 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 whatever. And they stop right there. You never hear about Benjamin Franklin in his later years. Well, you're going to hear about it tonight in closing. The Christian ought to go where the power is wielded. I'm going to ask you, in case you don't believe it, I'm going to ask you to look to the screen. Benjamin Franklin was not only one of America's prolific inventors, I don't know if you know this or not, but you know the gas lamps? You know, lighting streets? Benjamin Franklin. How many of you ever put fins on and went swimming in the ocean? Did you know you invented the fins? Benjamin Franklin. In fact, Benjamin Franklin, at the age of 15, put fins on his feet. He made them. Put fins on his feet, and he put fins on his hands and swam across a bay, and his friends thought it was a miracle, and Franklin then held them up. He invented swim fins. Did you know that every year thousands of people died from house fires for thousands of years? Every year. Until some guy by the name of Benjamin Franklin took a rod and put it on the top of a house and ran it down and put it into the ground, because he figured out that lightning would hit the rod, pass through the house, and be diffused in the earth, and nobody's homes would burn down anymore. And it even worked on ships and airplanes. Well, they used the same technology for airplanes. Who invented that? Benjamin Franklin invented that. You could go on and on. Bifocals, glasses. Benjamin Franklin invented those. Okay, so what? He's one of our founding fathers. So, in Assembly in the Nation, look what he said. This is the president of Congress he's speaking to. He's not speaking to the president of the United States. He's speaking to the president of Congress. Mr. President, the small progress we have made after 4 or 5 weeks, close attendance and continual reasonings with each other, our different sentiments on almost every question, they're at an impasse. They couldn't agree. They were all just fighting, all 56 of them. Several of the last producing as many no's as yeas is, methinks, a melancholy proof of the imperfection of human understanding. We indeed seem to feel our own want of political wisdom. Since we have been running about in search of it, we have gone back to ancient history for models of government and examined the different forms of those republics which, having been formed with the seeds of their own disillusion, now no longer exist. And we have viewed modern states all around Europe, but found none of their constitutions suitable to our circumstances. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth and scarce be able to distinguish it when to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understandings? By the way, you have to read the Bible to get the word Father of Lights. In the beginning of the contest between Great Britain, we were sensible of danger. We had daily prayer in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind of providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, what's the sacred writings, anybody? In the Bible. That except the Lord build, unless the Lord build, they labor in vain that build it. That's Psalm 127. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interest. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future age. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter this unfortunate instance despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, or conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service. Ladies and gentlemen, young people today, you will not get that in your university campus. Close your Bibles, hear this challenge. There is no place that is off limits to you and your faith. School teachers, listen, there is no place off limits to you and your faith. Public officials, moms, dads, no place. I thank God that these people that I'm about to mention did not segregate their faith out or parse it out in areas that was maybe threatening, maybe unpopular for them to be a believer. Friends, the Bible tells me that John the Baptist confronted the very rulers and powers of an age to their face. What about Paul the Apostle stood before the very Caesar of Rome and saw no separation of church and state? What about the amazing man amazing pastor, incredible preacher, the greatest pastor America has ever produced, president of Harvard, Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest minds ever produced in America. Sadly, most people don't even know who he is. He saw no separation of church and state. Jonathan Witherspoon. By the way, Reese Witherspoon's related to Jonathan Witherspoon, one of the greatest ministers in the revolutionary period, Jonathan Witherspoon. Jonas Clark. Jonas Clark protected Samuel Adams and John Hancock in his home against the British who were out to hang them. He risked his own life. Read sermons by Jonas Clark. What about this Christian minister, ordained minister, who during his presidency preached in 8 crusades and baptized people? Say, Jack, what are you talking about? He was president number 20 in the United States. Ordained minister, preached the gospel. Next week, I'm going to be standing on the literal, actual platform where he stood and preached the gospel and baptized people while he was president of the United States. By the way, before I tell you his name, if you think this president is a genius, this president, number 20, invented formulas for mathematics in geometry. He was the first president to campaign in America in English and in German, because many German towns he went to. You could ask him a question in English, and simultaneously, on 2 separate sheets of paper, he would write you the answer in Latin and in Greek at the exact same time, a pen in each hand. He was assassinated in office. James Garfield. You ever heard of him? That guy was a crazy Jesus lover, man. What's my point tonight? The church is you, and you, everywhere you go, tonight and tomorrow, wherever the sole of your feet tread, you bring mercy, grace, forgiveness, love, joy, the gospel, help, compassion, love, caring, you name it, it's you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth, Lord. And we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would go before these, your people. Fill them now with your Holy Spirit. Bless them with your power. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Our Biblical Worldview and the Church, Part 3. We thank you for listening to today's message and hope it will act as a catalyst in your heart to go where the lost are, and to share with them that there is hope and salvation found only in Jesus Christ. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And by the way, did you know that you can get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? That's real easy to do. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can point and you can click and find that app for your smartphone or tablet, but there's an easier way to do it. Just go to your app store, whether you're an Apple user, an Android, Google, whatever. Just go to the app store and look for the Real Life app. Let's say you're sitting in the doctor's office, you're at the registry of motor vehicles or something along those lines, and you've got plenty of time to kill. Well, I'll tell you what, a great way to spend that time would be with the Real Life app. Check out what's going on here at Real Radio. And listen, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love the videos that he does. There's a whole video section. We've got radio section, the devotional section, resources available for you. Direct yourself to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Point and click. Get exactly what you need. Get that Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.